Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Yo, what up, gangsters?
And Brian Brushwood.
Yeah, dude. You see me? I was smart enough not to start drinking something. But the moment you saw that cup in Justin's hand.
Old snake in the grass, Andrew. I will. I like a hawk. Like, he just knows when you're about to take a drink of something. And so I was in the middle of enjoying some homemade hot chocolate. Andrew just almost made me spit take all over this computer.
Which, by the way, is my favorite compliment that we ever get for any of our online podcasts, whether it's Weird Things or Night Attack or Cord Killers. Like, when somebody says, like, oh, you said blankety blank, and I totally snotted all over this person next to me on the bus. I derive a lot of pleasure from that.
People think I'm crazy because I'm listening and I'm laughing to myself.
Yes. No, I'm okay with that, too.
Guess what, guys?
Yeah.
You are crazy because you're listening.
Heck yeah. And that's why we love you.
Well, to this show, sure. You know, a bunch of jackanapes talking about Bigfoot and goblins and SpaceX.
All right. I need a siren.
Boo!
Do you know what the siren means?
I'm a mystical creature trying to lure you with my feminine wiles. Come have sex with me.
That makes sense.
It's my siren impression.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Explain the joke.
So that's our siren. The siren can only mean
goblins.
No, Brian.
Oh, sexy women,
mythical creatures.
No, Brian.
Space, who? SpaceX. The SpaceX.
Who uses
siren?
Sirens?
The police.
Who are the resident police?
Oh,
of the Weird
you're
Things
talking
podcast?
About. Wait, you need a crime solved by Spiro and the Fudge.
Yes.
Hey. Well, they're detectives, though, right? They're not beat officers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's they don't care what you think. That's why they blow sirens when they show up on a crime scene.
Yeah. Yes. Lieutenant Earl Sirens.
Gentlemen.
Sup, bro? Spear on the Fudge. We're here to solve what you got. You need something solved?
Standing officer.
Can I please just ask why I'm still on? Why I'm still partnered up with
come on, with Spiro, with the Yes Man. Look,
yeah,
look, they don't call me the Yes Man just because I'm a Yes Man. That's something they say in the locker room, and I don't appreciate it. They call me the Yes Man because Spiro is a spiral of rage and hate that finds the truth, and I need my buddy, my backup, my
really
muscle
don't
Fudge.
Think that spiral of rage and hate is a good thing to put on a detective's resume.
Dude. Excuse me. You guys will talk about your resumes later. This is not human resources.
Oh, sorry. The Fudge, I told you. This is why I told you not to talk. Yeah. All right. Let's
just say I'm putting the paperwork back in as soon as this case is over. Getting off the beat.
Andrew, I'm sorry. The Fudge, he loves to say this. This is his shtick. He always loves to pretend like he wants to leave, but he doesn't.
But professional.
Are you done talking? Because your mouth keeps moving, and I've got a case in front of me. I got a file folder now. I could give it to the competent cops down the hall.
Psh, please don't.
So I'm going to give it to you.
Okay, good. Thank goodness.
First up, I'm
going
to send you guys to Brazil.
Does this case involve any like semi-naked ladies?
Possibly.
All right.
Well, it's Brazil, Spiro. All cases involve semi-naked ladies in
all
Brazil.
All right. Well, then I'm in. I'm glad we had this meeting, gentlemen.
And so what we got here is a missing persons case.
Ah, we can find them. I mean, it's not like Brazil has the world's largest rainforest for us to lose them in, right?
Good thing this happened in a city. We got two women are missing.
Oh, so it's right in the city. Which city? Rio de Janeiro?
Lickety split. I'm testing that out as a catchphrase. Okay. Hey, well, don't worry. We'll solve your case. Lickety split. And then I look at the camera and wink.
the fudge. There's no camera.
I don't radio know show. Yeah.
I mean, just theoretically, like if we had a camera, though, I could look at it and wink.
Are you like pulling out a selfie, looking at the camera, and then winking, and then posting it on Vine?
It's a good idea. Yeah. No. I'll go.
Let me get my camera out. I'm just gonna here. All right. So I've got to set up in selfie mode.
Oh wait, what's that? Somebody else has gone missing while you guys were deciding whether or not you're going to do selfies opposed to an imaginary camera.
As
or what
I plan.
All right. Now, Chief.
Lured the kidnappers in. By making them think we were bumbling around with our selfies. However, we've had a carefully laid trap that will lead us right to them.
Yeah, thanks for falling into our trap, just like the bad guys, Chief. This is why we're so much better than you, and we're coming for your jobs.
Yeah. May I proceed?
I guess.
You're so the now chief. We're in Brazil.
Yeah.
Got two missing women.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're trying to find what's going out here. You're trying to find what's going on here. Why are they missing?
Well, first of all, which city are we in? Is it Rio de Janeiro?
Nah, it's some city you never heard of.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, good old cleft palate.
Bleak, plop, bleep, dop, Brazil.
Yes. So what do you want to do? How do you want to proceed this investigation?
Well, first of all, let's go to their haunts. Local bar.
Let me let you know that we're going to solve this crime. Quick as a wick.
Okay, look, the fudge, I told you, if you're going to do that, you need to let me get my camera out. Let's just, Chief, one second, I'm sorry, hold on, I've got this open. The fudge, give that to me one more time, buddy.
You're going to solve this crime faster than a snail can go to college.
Good. That was a good wink. Good wink. All right. I'm posting it on Vine. Real quick, you ask the questions. We're supposed to be investigating.
Oh, sorry. I think I hear another abduction. Somebody else has gone.
Enough, Chief. Can you stop bogging us down with all these new abductions?
Oh, look.
To solve the case here.
Oh, look at me. I'm sorry, the fudge. The moment you took to say that, another person was abducted. I'm the chief.
All right. Let's cut it down to the facts. There's two ladies abducted. I think it's pretty clear that they were both swallowed by the same snake.
Done. Hold on. And that they'll be on Discovery Channel next week. Look, let's do this.
Bet you didn't think we were able to take that one down so fast.
The fudge, listen up, man. We've got it. It's you and me. We got to do some investigative work. There's a street urchin here. Hey, street urchin, can you tell us about any missing ladies in the area? Where did they seem to go missing from?
All right, the street urchin, even though it's Brazil, he's actually from a Spanish-speaking country. He's an immigrant. So, right, si, senor. I can't do Brazilian Portuguese.
That's good. No, you're
idea.
Doing great.
No idea.
Portuguese on this podcast. a randomly Mexican street urchin.
Mexican immigrant
women last seen.
You know, I heard that both these women were looking for jobs.
Now, when you say jobs, like were they legal jobs or
jobs?
Yes,
legal jobs
or illegal jobs?
Legal jobs.
Legal jobs. So they weren't looking for come on over here, kiddo. Listen, I don't know if you know, but occasionally, sometimes.
Please don't murder me. Police have a habit of doing that here.
All right, listen. What's your name, buddy?
Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar. Little Pablo Escobar. Listen, sometimes ladies have a habit of doing things to please men that maybe make them cry later in the night. This wasn't anything like that, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, fudge. Little Pablo Escobar here says that they were above board, them ladies.
Pablo Escobar, the star of the new hit cartoon, drug kingpin babies.
I was named for the soccer player. Thank you.
All right. Well, so, man,
Escobar.
Hey, Pablo Escobar, little Pablo Escobar. Do you remember the last time these girls were seen before they vanished?
You know, we don't know when they would know what day they were seen and then they kind of went away.
But were they doing anything? Time?
Looking for jobs.
Looking for jobs.
Did they both disappear at the same time, or did one disappear and then the next one?
One and then the other one, or maybe the other then the other.
Were they friends?
No.
All right, when they say jobs, did they say what kind of jobs they were looking for by any chance?
Yes, they did.
What did they tell you?
They wanted to be nannies.
Okay, that's weird.
Like Mary Poppins.
Now did they
it's quite popular in my country.
Is there a chance that like are these women who wanted to travel? Like, do you think like maybe a rich American showed up and was like, "I'll take you to America and you can look after my kids."
Blame the American. There you go.
That's what I do.
Why couldn't it have been Canadian, Brian? No, they were looking to work locally in the city.
But then they just vanished, huh?
Well, I think we should go scour the beep bop jeep jorp Brazil Craigslist to find out all the listings for nannies.
The fudge, get over here. Listen, I know of the two of us, I'm the more culturally sophisticated, but you can't keep calling them beep bop jeep jorp. That's offensive.
That's the name of my city, sir.
Okay. Oh, beep bop jeep jorp is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. In that case, that's I apologize.
To beep bop jeep jorp, Brazil.craigslist.com.
I apologize, the fudge. That's on me. I'll make it up to
number
you.
Number one. Also, by the way, I'm here on Craigslist, and there are some really, really inappropriate casual missed encounters that seem to be put up from a visiting police official who I'm reading here right now. You were wearing your shorts, and I longed to feel your embrace. The fudge. Like, that's just, you're typing things like that have my name in it.
Okay. First of all, it's a bit presumptuous for you to think that was me, and that, first of all, if it was, that you're the fudge that I was talking about.
America to solve a case of two missing women. We've just found out that they were looking for nanny work. You have to be typing this while I'm reading it.
Typical the fudge behavior, you know, taking credit and just assuming it's all about you. Might not just be about you.
Fast forward to the investigation. You decide to go pursue. You see an ad, nanny wanted. One of you, I'm going to have one of you call in.
Listen, the fudge, I am going to need you to wear this wig and show up to accept the job.
Hello, this is the phone you're talking on. I'm the guy who put out the ad for Nanny Wanted. Go ahead, tell me.
Hello, it's the fudge.
Obrigado, senor. I'm looking for nanny work. I'm local here to Jeep Job Beep Bop.
Do you have relatives in town?
Say no. It's me and my uncle Spiro. He is a bicycle enthusiast.
The fudge, are you talking on the phone while I'm riding my bicycle again?
Click.
Oh, man. Oh, dang it. Okay, look. All right, let me call. I'll do better.
All right, go ahead and call.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop.
I'm wearing the wig.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Hello. Do you require nanny services?
I do.
I am a talented nanny who has many skills to get little boys and girls to do their work. I sing a song.
Are you attached? You have family in town, or are you by yourself?
I'm well connected with family.
Click.
Damn it. Oh, shit.
I got it. I feel like I got it. All right?
All right. Mushy, mushy.
Hi, it's me. I'm the nanny of your dreams.
Do you have any family in town?
Nope. I'm just a lonely girl looking for a lonely world. I caught the midnight train from anywhere.
All right, come on by. Here's the address.
Nailed it. That's good. Oh, man. Spiro, we're going to crack this case open.
Guy's
a murderer.
All right, listen, the fudge, we got to go to the place in time. I'm going to need you to wear this wig. I'm going to need you to wear these hot pants. And I'm going to need you to take a photo just for evidence purposes. If you could just bend over this. We got a Thunderbird here.
Weird that you made me wear the wig while I was on the phone.
Okay, this is evidence now. This is going to go on the permanent record. I just need you to bend over and just a little bit up, put the rump a little higher if you can.
All right, we don't have time. We got to head there.
Okay, we always have time to do things right.
Fine, here we go.
All right, and hold on, here we go. And
this case is a pretty big drag.
All right, great. We got it.
All right. So we head over to the to the estate, and I am dressed like a maid, like a comely young lass.
All right. I welcome you in. So I'm like, hello, how are you? So nice of you to apply. Please have a seat.
This is Spiro. I'm out in the bushes. I'm watching you. You look real good. I mean, you look real good. If I was this guy, I might, like, be aware.
I've turned off my earpiece.
Damn.
Yes, I would like to sit over here and hear your offer, for my maid service is beyond compare.
First, oh, here's a booklet I wrote on the coffee table. Feel free to read it.
I pick up the book. What does it say?
Revelations of a Schizophrenic.
So it seems as if...
The fudge. It's me. It's Spiro. I'm at the window.
Yeah, okay. All right. Excuse me, sir. It seems as if you have a very active squirrel population. Let me go shoo them away.
The fudge. Listen, the fudge. I was watching from the outside. I don't think this guy's on the up and up. I don't think you should take the show.
Look, he's got a book. He's got a book that says he's a schizophrenic. Maybe this is just some big misunderstanding. Sir!
Yes. Now, you'll have to understand the job here is a little bit complicated. There is my child. There is my wife. And there is my mistress. The three of us live here together. Would you care for an empanada?
Yeah, I love empanadas. I take the empanada and I toss it out the window and it hits Spiro in the face.
I totally start eating the empanada.
Boy, you ate that one fast, young lady. You care for another empanada?
Sure.
Tell him yes. Tell him yes. Those are really good.
I throw that out the window and then Spiro continues to eat that. All right, of course, I will be... the best maid you've ever had for your wife, your child, and your mistress.
And
what do I start?
Would you like another empanada?
Say yes. Yeah, I'm just real tired. I don't know why. Give us this. I would love an empanada.
I take the empanada. I throw it out the window. And Spiro continues to eat his third.
You know, some people are suspicious when I give them empanadas. And I start to eat an empanada.
Hey, the fudge. I start to crawl in the window. I'm like, what's going on, guys?
These squirrels are so active here in your neighborhood.
Oh, my God. I love Brazil. You know what's great about you guys is that you're so free. You just do whatever, man.
This is a normal thing that happens in your neighborhood, sir?
What's your name again, boss?
Senor.
Good old senior. I remember. I loved your Move Your Feet song
Spiro, get the hell out of here.
Do you know this man? Why is he crawling through my window?
It's what we call over large and fat for their body type squirrels in my neighborhood. Spiro. All
right, fine.
You look rather hefty. Well, how much would you say you weigh, young lady?
Look, listen, come here. Senior, can I have a word with you? Look, man, I ain't gonna lie, but the fudge is kind of a dude, and he's totally, you might have told from the giant beard and the penis that he has. Trust me, it's there. Look,
get out.
If you want us to get out?
You're not in your pocket. I want it back.
No, look, they're all in my belly. Also, I feel a little funny after those empanadas.
Where are the police who has jurisdiction in Brazil?
Oh, no, I confess.
Explain to us your plot, sir.
Well, since you ate all the evidence, I'm kind of free and clear now.
Wait, what do you mean? Did you murder these women and make them into empanadas?
Maybe.
Wait a minute. So they weren't drugged at all? They were just normal empanadas? I ate human flesh?
You ate human flesh, Brian.
Why do? Well, if that's true, then why am I fully aroused now?
That sounds like a personal choice, Brian.
Mm.
So, in a horrific tale that we've just made light of, but has real victims nonetheless, three people charged with killing at least two women, eating parts of their body, and using their flesh to make and sell stuffed pastries went on trial Thursday in northeastern Brazil.
Holy cow.
The man and his wife, his mistress, were arrested April 2012 in the city of Garanhuns, and police say they have confessed to the crimes. The three allegedly lured women to their house by promising them a job as a nanny. Police found the remains of the two women in the backyard of the suspect's house.
How did? Okay, first of all, this just got way less funny immediately. How did? And I'm sure that some of the grisly details are at least inferred. What do you think of? Do they give any details about how they murdered these poor girls?
I mean, it's really not that hard to murder somebody, Brian.
Oh, really? Wait, spoken like a man who's written specific fantasies about murdering people in a series of popular novels.
Once you have the will, fantasies. Brian. I didn't get really into specifics, but there are three people. This is the thing I like. All right, Brian, be my wife for a moment here, okay?
Hello, Andrew.
Hey, listen.
Hold on, I'm recharging right now. That's why I'm plugged into the outlets.
Dare to dream. Brianna, listen to me. You know, I have an idea on what can make this relationship really, really special.
Oh, really? Please share.
We should have a child.
Yes, okay, whatever you wish.
2 years later. Hey, Brianna, the kid's been great. That's really good. I was thinking maybe to spice things up a little bit, though. Listen, we are Brazilian. Maybe I get a mistress.
I mean, that seems like what people do here in Brazil.
You know, I'm trying to finish my book about being a schizophrenic, and I was thinking there's a lot of pressure, so.
I can't say I'm for it. I'm agin it, but so shall be.
Hey, Brianna, you know, the kid's been great. You know, writing my book's been great.
Do I not please you anymore? Am I too fat?
No,
you're
great.
Have I grown too old?
You know, I love your cooking. You know that, right?
My cooking. I want you to like my cookies.
I was thinking what we could do to really spice things up a notch.
Yeah, this is awkward, yes?
You're into the kid, you're into the mistress, you're into the fact that I was writing a book about being a schizophrenic.
I mean, I wasn't so much into it so much as acknowledging they were happening.
You're still here, babe. You're still here, babe. So I say we take it one step further.
I'm not sure. Yes, sir?
Cannibalism.
Is that bowling? That's a form of bowling?
Listen to my mistress explain it.
Yeah,
Oh, it's a little cannibalism. You know, you eat the little person, and then you make them into a stew, and then you eat them. It's no big deal.
I'm not comfortable. This is the eating of human flesh, yes?
No. You're just so simple. It's so simple. You just go, you kill a little person. You make them a little sandwich. You cook and eat the sandwich. It's so easy.
You know, when I married you, I said for sicker or poorer, and I guess we'll just have to get a little sicker for a while. So, yes, let's do this.
Oh, you're going to love it.
So this is how it happens? He just introduces like...
I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, Brian.
We can report authentically.
A dramatic recreation of this scene.
I'd like to imagine it went like there was just these steps along the way. The relationship's in jeopardy, so they have the kid. Then she okays to have a mistress. And then it's like, hey, you know, we're already living in sin, you know?
Oh, my God. That's
this is probably like a little bit outside of things, right? It's not like a major city. I just kind of feel like this is the kind of stuff that happens in small towns over the world. I have an irrational fear of small towns, by the way.
And by the way, as well, you should. You know why? And thankfully, it's getting better now that everyone has internet. But like small towns, there's a reason they're a home to STDs and meth abuse is because like there's nothing to do. And so it's like they, you know, what the hell you think the kids are going to cook up on a Friday night?
If they're not doing meth and having tainted sex with each other, then they're, you know, doing some crazy Wicker Man stuff and pouring bees on poor, you know, Nick Cage's head.
Dude, and they're getting those, like, kill boners, and they're all like, nah, we are powerful in this moment. And talking weird. No.
Kill boner. There's a phrase I've never heard.
Look, take it from me, a guy who grew up in a small town.
I got to call my agent because I think I have a book pitch. Kill the Lord. Hey, Erica, listen. All right, here's a title for you. Ready? Kill Boner. Oh. Go up not high. Seriously, it's a thing. It's a thing I just heard about. There's a guy, he kills, and when he kills, he gets a boner. How did you know?
Imagine the cover. The cover of the hardcover illustration would just be amazing.
It's like in one day I ran into two instances of that. One was the oatmeal had like how do you draw hands?
Uh-huh. And what do they say?
It's draw a rabbit with a boner, nobody will care what the hands look like. And then I saw the South Park where they decide they're going to become the Washington Redskins. They use the name for their startup.
That's amazing.
They modify the logo with one addendum.
One digit.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So anyhow, I've got another case for you guys if you want.
Oh, thank God. That was some good work we did there, the fudge.
Oh, yeah, we're doing great.
That's what makes us a good team. You, me, and
it's worth reminding people that if you want, we got a Patreon going on there.
Oh my God. If only I knew where to go. Patreon.com/weirdthings. We're about to cross over. We have 312 patrons kicking in a few shekels here and there. And we can't thank you guys enough, man. Patreon.com/weirdthings.
And by the way, let me give a shout out here real quick to Larry, one of our patrons. He's throwing us $10 an episode. And this dude wanted to, when we still did the sponsored stuff in between the segments, wanted us to give a shout out to his wife, Jennifer. So he emailed me. And so I'm going to shout it out. There we go, everybody. Larry loves his wife, Jennifer, and he wants you to know that you can go to patreon.com/weirdthings if you would like to support us as well.
This is where we mock Larry for loving his wife. Larry loves his wife. Larry loves his wife.
Larry and his wife sitting in a tree. KISSING.
Pro-P-R-O creating.
Yeah. LIVING. Happy style.
Typical Weird Things audience member. If you'd like to be happy with your spouse, then why don't you join us over at patreon.com/weirdthings.
And by the way,
share
we're making
a recipe for empanadas.
Long here, but I feel like we're going to get to that $1,000 level, and it's going to be a real party. It's going to be a real blockbuster as we are able to unlock a lot of things that make this show better, like
bonus content
to make it happen all the time.
Heck yeah. Right now we're still loosey-goosey on our time every single week, which again, we appreciate all of our live audiences being flexible on it. But once we hit that $1,000 goal, everything becomes like a real gig for all of us.
Yeah.
So there we go, Larry. Larry and Jennifer, just don't start killing people and eating them.
Or do. That's fine.
Listen, you are beyond our judgment now.
I'm going to take a hard line on that. I think that's where I draw the line in the sand.
Look, man, if you want to be intolerant, if you want to be, one of these bigots who judges people on whether or not they've engaged in murder cannibalism, then that's your decision. That's up to you.
Typical cis male patriarchy.
All right. Real fast. This would be another good Spiro and Fudge, but I'll just do a rapid fire one. Sure. So, people in France around French Disneyland were a bit afraid because they thought a tiger was on the loose.
Now, you say they thought. Was this like a media mishap where they accidentally reported it as such? Or they explain more.
There was a photo. Let me see if I can find the photo. And
was this – all right. Was this tiger bouncing up and down on its tail fresh from the Thousand Acre Wood?
Or was it the other kind of tiger that's like having sex with anything with two legs, whether or not he's married to it?
Oh, that tiger.
I like the utter confusion on your face.
And I'm like, what character in Winnie the Pooh was that?
I sent you an image, Bri.
Okay, right on. I'm going to copy this image. Copying link location. Hopefully it'll post over here. Oh, except it didn't. All right, give us a little more background on this.
So we're looking at a grassy hill, right? And you see something lurking up at the top of it, feline in shape. And people found some prints. Some people think there's a tiger on the loose.
I can't open it. Hold on, let me try one more time. I've got one.
Go for the second one. I screwed up the first one with a backslash going the wrong way.
Yeah, it won't quite copy over, so I'm going to have to actually manually type it in. Let's see.
Oh, news. Good Lord. That's a billion numbers.
You know, I'm fast with my typing, though. Okay.
All right. So this is on the property of...
No, around. They've shut down schools. They put things on lockdown. They've been terrified because they think this...
Now, I've been... I've never been myself to Euro Disney, but I don't imagine it necessarily has a lot of live animals normally. So having something like a tiger would seem to be odd. I'm guessing that it is some...
Did
kind
you see
of...
Brotherhood of the Wolf?
I didn't. No.
Oh, wow.
What is Brotherhood of the Wolf about?
Brotherhood of the Wolf is a pretty awesome movie. And I'm not going to say anything more about it, but if you'd seen Brotherhood of the Wolf... You'd be like, man, this could totally happen.
That's a movie called Brotherhood of the Wolf. It's pretty good.
It's pretty sweet. It's right. Again, I highly recommend you see it because it's about a guy. You know,
how long ago was it?
2001.
Oh, okay.
All right. Bad news. You're going to have to like email me that link in order for me to get to it because
no,
it's
I'm going to jump forward because I got another story I want to cover.
All right.
Please think what it is. It's just a really fat house cat.
Wait, really? Because it looks like, okay, I drug it up over your face, and it looks like a definitely looks like a mountain lion, but you're telling me that's a fat house cat?
Yeah, the police, when they look at the presence of an animal, the tiger species now excluded. When you look at the print, it just looks like a big kitty print.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, it's so good. It also hates Mondays.
All right, what else you got for us?
This is truly Odie's greatest revenge.
So we didn't cover this when it happened, and I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Ax it up.
Let's say you guys are both like gazillionaires. You're like gazillion. You're like big executives for Apple or Microsoft or Google or whatever. You've got a ton of money now.
So okay? Like so much money that we can order a beer at an airport and not flinch.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's got to be awesome.
And even better, you're like UCF graduates.
University of Central Florida.
So what do you do with your money?
What do we spend it on? So we have like all the money, right?
Yeah, you got a ton
of money.
I mean,
you know me. It's going to be some kind of ridiculous space crap like I'll probably buy a giant chunk of SpaceX and maybe like request a special mission just to send me up for 20 minutes and then come down and be all like, you know, high five. I totally did an orbit.
Cool. Cool. Let's say you had to spend it in the next year or so.
Ooh, in the next year. Justin, you have any ideas?
I mean, two things immediately come to mind. Number one, any kind of infrastructure to secure my life forever. And preventing death. Number two, a dirigible.
Okay.
Dirigible. Oh my God. Wait. Sidebar. I just want to get behind on the dirigible idea. Can we like have like the longest running floating party pad in the world where it's like people have to fly biplanes up and connect to our dirigible and then they come in and we just get them hammered and we send them back on a biplane?
Yeah, you can be like one of those simping ass loser billionaires who are doing all their partying on ground.
Land. Oh my God.
I'm balling right out of my dirigible.
Who has the world record for a high altitude jump?
Well, it was Felix Baumgartner, but I suddenly realized where this is headed. You're talking about the story that I totally read of some dude, just a rando.
Who totally did something in the story.
Yeah, no. There was a guy, and correct me, you will fill in the details, but tell me if I'm remembering this right. There's some random, like, middle management executive at, Google who had a few million dollars and just decided to quietly defeat Felix Baumgartner's record of jumping from the highest place on or without a rocket or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit above mid-manager, but yeah, he's a high up at Google, and he decided to break the record by Felix Baumgartner. So Felix Baumgartner, who set that, did that whole big balloon jump, had Felix Baumgartner jumped from, let me see what his jump was.
I want to say like 180,000 or something like that. Felix Baum.
And this was international news. It captivated everybody.
Yeah, 128,000 feet is what it is.
So Alan Eustace did 135,000 feet.
So a not insignificant, but basically a slight tick higher. Which, by the way, it sounds like this guy didn't quite have the PR team, because he also, if I remember the news story correctly, whereas Felix Baumgartner had a little, you know, pod that looked like it was a freaking spacecraft that he jumped from, he just sort of just had the balloon take him up, like he was just hanging by himself.
Yeah, it was
is
like just
right?
a platform, just sort of like hung in by a platform to do it. So like no big
like on a swing set all the way up to 130,000 feet. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. So he, you know, broke that record now, 135,000 feet, and he wasn't known as a daredevil before. He was a Cessna pilot. And to give hope to you all, you know what his first one of his first jobs was when he's going to UCF is he worked at Disney World. He used to sell popcorn in Fantasyland.
So he was? He's a UCF graduate?
Yeah, yeah.
He went to You Can't Finish, and he did. He finished it.
He finished Felix Baumgartner's
record right there. Dude, that is so awesome. He is the badass of all time because he did it without fanfare, without making a big deal about it. I hope he just took a selfie when he hit the ground. Just sent it to Felix's phone with the caption, "Bye, Felicia." Like, you're outie. I'm the best. You're the worst.
Do-do-doot. Do-do-doot.
Here I am, jumping off a plane.
Flying through the air. One more time. What's the guy's name?
Alan Eustace.
All right. So if you guys, if there's a record that you guys would want to quietly break, and then just like run it.
By the way, this guy, you look at his Wikipedia article and he's in a, you know, in a nice two-piece suit. He looks corporate as hell. He's the last person you would suspect of like freaking jumping from the stratosphere. I love it.
Let's be very clear when we describe him as a Will Ferrell character.
Yeah, he totally does look like Will Ferrell.
I'm Alan Eustace.
And give you an example. Think about that is 25 miles up. 25 miles up, correct?
Also, I just saw in his Wikipedia. So he not only went to UCF, which in to give people context is one of the most populous colleges in Florida. He also went to the community college that people go to when they can't get into UCF, Valencia, before he went to UCF. Do you know? This is my brother. He has my brother's education.
Except he's got not your brother's money, I assume.
Yes, he has a little bit more.
That's amazing. That's awesome. The
dope.
The dream is alive, beautiful people. Anyone could do anything.
What would you? What record would you guys break if you could just if you had the money to break it and then just send that like, oops, I broke your record, dog. Sorry about that.
I mean, okay. So it's like there are skill-based records, which I think would be a pain in the ass. I feel like I would train for one of those, like whether it's, you know, bowling balls balance, you know, spinning on, you know, fingers at once or whatever. I feel like I would go for something that at least smelled of skill as opposed to money, like jumping from the highest whatever or diving to the lowest whatever. That just feels like a money thing.
Well, if I have the money, then I'm going to go for the money thing, Bri.
Yeah. No, I don't
blame you. Resorting to cheap skill.
Yeah. He says manipulating cards as he does so.
I didn't even think about that. That was an amazing Jonathan line, by the way. I think some of these high altitude records are kind of cool, and I'll tell you why. Because you're basically building spacesuits and doing, you're 25 miles up. International Space Station's, you know, 200 miles up, 250 miles up. So you're, you know, you're 10, 15% of the way there. the Virgin Galactic 2, our latest version, probably wasn't going to be able to go much higher up than, you know, you would be able to go in a balloon. I mean, maybe not. You're not the space limit is like 60 miles or something like that, where we say technically you're in space. So you're halfway to space when you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have an idea for how to go higher.
Typical Andrew. What do you got?
Rockets. No. It's a thing called a rocket. It's a new idea. There's we've talked about this before. There's a guy who's come up with this really crazy idea. He calls them dark sky stations. And these are basically platforms that are like several hundred thousand feet up. Let me pull up the where he wants to build these things. All right. Like maybe you could have a dark sky station at 100,000 feet up. And then from there, you could launch something. He wants to build something like at 140,000 feet, okay? A permanent floating platform that's all the way up there. And then once you're up there, you could build balloons that are much, much lighter, that are much, much larger than anything that would work on the ground, that can then float even higher. You could go to the edge of space.
How would you construct that? Like, I assume theoretically, like the perfect balloon would be a vacuum inside that somehow was expanded out and just, you know, held nothing in it so that it would go higher.
Yes, that would be ideal, would be able to have a large enough structure. But remember that there is atmosphere even as far out as the space station is. That's why the space station solar panels have to change their pitch every time they do a loop around the Earth, because they get atmospheric drag otherwise, and it'll slow it down.
Okay.
So, you know, one idea is that if you build something up that high, you could then build some massive craft that could then take, you know, have to have some sort of special propulsion system, but you could then have that build up speed to the point it gets to Mach 20 and reach escape velocity. But before then.
Man, okay, this is a, hold on. This is not something I had considered before. The idea that you get high enough and just the mere fact of being so high, which it's difficult not to read in multiple ways. That just a little tick would send you off the planet.
You'd be high that you'd still have to get very, very fast, but you could maybe build a massive, big, huge balloon to do that, dirigible or semi-dirigible, something. Anyhow, I digress. My point is there's that. What could you re-enter from space attached to a giant balloon?
So I guess the benefit to that would be you would re-enter space extremely slowly, but you would not have the burn-up on re-entry problem if you took it easy enough. How come nobody considered that before?
I don't know that they have. I don't know what technical problems are in the way, but maybe that's the next step.
I mean, that seems like a really smart thing to do. Okay, it's way unsexy, but why not? Why not just inflate like a series of, why not have like 100 balloons set and you keep inflating them, and as they burst you just keep putting out more balloons, and you know like a cork wrapped in champagne bubbles, you slowly come down into the atmosphere until you hit equilibrium. And then you just descend super slow. This is...
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm coming back to Earth like that old dude from Up.
Although that's technically how he left Earth. But yes. Yes.
So there are studies to try to figure out. There's a project called Moose, which is Man Out of Space Easiest, which was a proposed emergency bailout system capable of bringing an astronaut to Earth. The design was proposed by General Electric in the early 1960s. The system was quite compact, weighing 200 pounds and fitting inside of a suitcase container. It consisted of a small twin-nozzle rocket motor sufficient to deorbit the astronaut, a PET film bag, long with a flexible quarter-inch thick, a blade of heat seal on the back, two pressurized canisters filled with polyethylene flame, a parachute, and a radio.
This is to leave Earth?
Is to land.
To get back. Okay, right. Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah. Did you click on the photo there? It's man in space ferry. Ejection from space ferry. deorbit. He's inside of basically a giant laundry bag, active foaming. So you're inside this bag, and it starts to fill up with foam, foaming complete, re-entry, parachute. It looks like that is how we will punish criminals in the future.
No, dude, I mean, keep in mind, like this is less funny in the wake of the fact that Felix Baumgartner's record just got beat by a dude essentially playing the game this way. And plus, also, if you've read, I know that Justin was talking about starting The Martian. You know, there's elements of The Martian where they do completely out of the box thinking like this kind of stuff.
So the first photo is the man in the space ferry, which is this small ice cream cone shaped rocket. And they show like something just went through it, like it got some sort of meteor. It's like, ah, damn it. He's got this thing next to him like a giant Big Gulp thermos.
It does look like that way. His ice cream cone has been pierced.
Yeah. All right. It's ejected. Now I got to do this. And then basically the Home Depot insulation foam starts to fill up this plastic bag.
I mean, you're laughing, but I think there's something to this, man.
I'm all for it. I still think it's insane. Ooh, and there's a paracone. I've never heard of this.
A paracone?
It's a 1960s atmospheric reentry or space flight mission abort concept using an inflatable ballistic cone. Oh, Jesus.
Wow, man. Can you imagine freaking being inside this, so you crawl inside a trash bag, the whole thing inflates with foam, you now see nothing. You assume you're in a shuttlecock-like shape that will fall to the earth appropriately, and then you just sit there surrounded by foam, completely blind to the outside world, hearing nothing but sound all around you as you descend at a bajillion miles an hour to the earth and burns up around you.
It's just like at that screaming point, it is throw the keys to somebody else, because like your fate is going to, like, either you're going to be dead and the last thing you'll see is foam, or somebody's going to peel open your pod that is bobbing in the sea, right?
God, that's amazing.
Like a tin of popcorn.
Wow.
Gentlemen, time for picks.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Hey, man, I got a weird pick. I'll go first. I actually am the least prepared for picks in that I haven't had a chance to watch much content over the last week. I had a show 2 days ago in Pennsylvania, like upstate or I guess northern Pennsylvania near the Pocono Mountains. And then immediately we turned around and drove to fly out of Philadelphia to land at a little thing put on by Stan Allen, Vinnie Grasso, and Brian, whose last name I can't quite access because he has two of them, the Magic Summit, where I got to meet Jamie D. Grant, who might have tossed one of these in my bag. This is a completely cellophane sealed, hermetically sealed bicycle deck of cards inside. Inside a standard milk bottle, along with a little note. And, you know, I talked to Jamie, and he was understandably coy about the actual method, about how he does it. But he directed me to his TEDx talks, where he talks about how he wants to create mystery by making these. For those of you not watching live, it's a full deck of bicycle playing cards, completely still sealed in the cellophane, and it just exists inside of a standard milk bottle. And it's like everything about this says, I don't understand how this can be possible. And I just want to thank Jamie D. Grant for being a genuinely awesome person and for giving me a little bit of genuine mystery in my life. Make sure to check out his stuff. He's got a TEDx talk where he talks about I think he hints at how he does it and talks about what he does with it, which is interesting.
So ascendwonder.com is his website. Jamie's been a friend to Andrew and I for a really long time. He actually was involved he wrote for iTricks for a little bit with the Magic Reviews, but he is a genuine character. He is somebody that is, especially in the world of magic where artifice is kind of everything, Jamie is just
genuine.
Yeah, he's just exactly who he is in his performance when you talk to him. Well, like, he's very unique like that.
I mean, he's also an astonishing individual in that he has decided to hold on to his day job. His day job, of course, being saving human lives. This guy loves being a paramedic, and being a paramedic is a good gig, and he's able to get enough free time being a paramedic to go off and do various gigs as a super talented and very funny and clever magician and so on. And he's like, well, why would I give this up? This is great, because I get to a few days a week. You know, I will not remember them as, you know, to me, they will be just one of 20 people I ferried to and fro in an ambulance and did my job to. But to them, I will forever be remembered as one of the most important people in their entire lives, which I thought was a really great way to look at the dichotomy between the whole day job, night job thing that we all think of. We all think in terms of like quit your day thing so you can only do your night thing. But like to have somebody like Jamie who's like, well, my day thing like really positively impacts a lot of people and it's pretty freaking rad and I don't see why I should give that up. Anyway, I walked away from having interacted with Jamie incredibly impressed. I'm going to watch his TED Talk. I'm going to learn as much as I can about him. He's a super good guy.
Cool. All righty. My pick is How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, a book by Chris Taylor. And it's the full title is How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, the Past, Present, and Future of a Multi-Billion-Dollar Franchise. I've read, you know, just about every book I can on the history of Star Wars, the making of Star Wars. And so when I saw there was another book out there about Star Wars, I'm thinking, all right, really, what story can be told? And, well, Chris Taylor has told quite a fascinating story. He talks a lot about how Star Wars fandom has spread, the impact that it's had. He gets into stories about the making of Star Wars that I wasn't familiar with and didn't just take, you know, as were gospel things that people had said that had happened and went back and did some really good research. Talks about the 501st, which is the group of people who dress up like stormtroopers and the impact of this has had around the world. He gets into the legal battles over the rights to produce armor. He gets into a lot of the different just minutia of Star Wars, both past and present. The story opens up where he talks about the first time Star Wars is being presented in the Navajo language at an Indian reservation.
Oh, that's great.
You know, because he wanted to go talk to people who had never heard of Star Wars and so wants to find out how far the impact has been. So I really recommend it. It's a great example of fandom, a really good understanding of the people that absolutely love Star Wars. He talks a bit about how to love it is to hate it and how the biggest critics of Star Wars are the people that love it the most, but then will pick it apart scene by scene, blah, blah, blah. And he says that's what's interesting is how are these people who love this thing so critical of it, but he says that's part of what makes Star Wars wonderful. So it's an audible pick, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe.
What I want to know, and I've always kind of wondered about, but when you think about Star Wars fandom, is just what is the income on lightsaber sales alone? Like just selling lightsabers or like merchandise involving that just features lightsabers, none of the other characters from the either trilogy or whatever. Cause I gotta figure it's like a staggering number. Like it would be worth it to continue to produce Star Wars material for the rest of eternity just so you can be selling lightsabers because, like, they're so cool.
By the way, I just bought it, and it's narrated by Nick Podell, who I believe did Name of the Wind, I think. Let me see some of the other stuff that Nick Podell did.
Wow, because, like, I couldn't stand his Name of the Wind narration, but he's perfect for Star Wars.
No, he did. There it is right there. Nick Podell.
Yeah, he felt like a guy doing a toothpaste commercial for me in Name of the Wind, but he's spot on for the Star Wars one. Dude, so maybe after I finish this, I'll have to give Name of the Wind a try again.
For whatever reason, like, I liked his narration of Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear.
It just felt so California West Coast.
That's amazing. Dude, that's great, though. I'm glad that you had a book that you really enjoyed written by them. Or read by
my
them.
My pick is Name of the Wind, the audiobook. I just finished it this week. I am probably closer to Andrew than I am to Brian on the narration. I was not in love with the narration. But I really like wanted to get through it and finish it. Not only because so many of my friends have loved it so much, but it was one of those books that I had to start and stop for a lot of reasons, not necessarily just to do with the book, but it is such an amazing world building exercise that like by the end of the book, you have such an amazing concept for the universe's use of magic and the sympathy kind of rules that it really is kind of a major achievement like that. So,
well, that's one of the hardest things is to lay out the elements in front of you and somehow lay them out in such a way that you are not, you don't, and again, maybe this is a you and me being humans versus Andrew being a superhuman. You know, Andrew is the kind of person who can look at like, you know, element A, B, and C laid out in front and clearly understand that Z has to happen if you have all these things. But like, I do feel like they do a good job in the world building of telling the rules of magic in this world and making them almost scientific in their precision, and yet still giving you the chance to have genuine surprises as you go through the book, like, oh, I didn't even think about combining those two things in this way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's done in many different ways in terms of having you understand it. And some of them are like literal lectures. You are literally getting lectured by somebody in a classroom about how the rules of this universe work. But it's always entertaining. It's well done. And Patrick Rothfuss is just an amazing writer. That is a dude who loves stories. Like, that book is a lot of storytelling. Like, the themes are storytelling. The actions are completed by way of storytelling.
The myths of the land are all stories.
If that's your thing, if filling up the world, the fantasy world, is something that you find interesting, then this is, and you've not read this book, then you, sir, are a fool.
Well, there you have it, gentlemen. You're fools. All of you.
I'm okay with that.
That's been weird.